Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay, judges. That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast. And today has been a thankful day, a day of thanksgiving. And we know in Scripture it says to pray, be thankful, to just give reverence to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I hope you are forever thankful to God for all that he has blessed you with according to his grace, for it is sufficient. We are going to have a continuation of our lesson that we had on last week. And, of course, the lesson is Ashes into Beauty. And we looked at the 2 points from the 3 that were made mention in the lesson on last week. And before I get started, I just want to offer up a prayer of praise to the Lord concerning our day, concerning what you may have went through today, concerning the Word of God breathing upon us as we continue in this lesson. So if you would, brothers and sisters, if you would bow your head and let's come humbly before the throne of grace, making our petitions known. Father God, we just exalt you today, for you are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end, and we just give all honor and glory and reverence to you. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done through us, in us, and for us in the past. In the pardoning of our sin that we did not know what you were doing in and through us, with us, for us. But we thank you for allowing us to have a second chance on life. Lord, as we move forward through this lesson, I pray that you would, those who have an ear to hear, that they come hungry to your table, thirsty, receiving what you have for them. Allow this lesson today, Lord, to be a richness to their soul, that we would grow and go in grace according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me, and I pray that you would be blessed by the conclusion of this lesson, Ashes into Beauty. Now, for those who did not, who missed last week's lesson, of course, you have the beautiful privilege of going on the website and listening to last week's lesson on demand, and you can pick up the first 2 and then make note of tonight or today's points, and you can make note, have a beautiful lesson, Ashes into Beauty. Now, the first 2 points that we talked about, just as a little thumbnail sketch or recap of what I talked about on last week, the first point being, I have been saved. The second point being, I'm being saved. And, of course, the third point is, I am saved. And that's where we're going to focus our attention today on the third point. Now, what was spoken about the last 2 points, or the first 2 points, I have been saved, we saw that to be justification. And we talked about, I have been saved from the penalty of sin. And justification, of course, is God's act of declaring us not guilty for our sins. And then point two was I'm being saved. And we call that sanctification. And sanctification is becoming more and more like Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm being saved, sanctification. And we talked about that in depth on last week. And we made note of three types of persons: the natural man, the unsaved, or the unsaved person, the carnal person, and the spirit-filled person. And I made note that the natural man, of course, is that person who is unsaved, who runs to sin and enjoys the sin nature that we were born into. The carnal man, of course, is the person who is selfish or self-centered, half-hearted. A believer, yes, they are, but they still love the ways of the world. And the other person, the third person, I stated, was the spirit-filled person who has or who's living or yielding to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And they have chosen to live a lifestyle that shows Christ in and through them. And that's where we left off. And we will pick up today with I am saved. And I am saved, we call that glorification. Glorification. And glorification means the ultimate state of the believer after death, when he or she becomes like Christ. Point one, I have been saved, justification. Point two, I'm being saved, sanctification. And point three, I am saved, glorification. So if you will, make note of those points so that you can revisit last week's lesson. And as we move through the last point, and so that you can have a simplistic understanding of glorification. And I'm going to allow the scriptures to teach in light of scripture. When we look at the verses in scripture, I love for the scriptures to teach us, breathe upon us, and we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the richness of God's word. So we're going to look at our scripture reading, and just keep in mind and take note that glorification, again, is the ultimate state of the believer after death, when he or she becomes like Christ. Now, again, this is a believer, one who has confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, for the benefit of those who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I say this on every broadcast pretty much, that I do not want to assume that everyone who listens to this broadcast is a believer in Christ Jesus. And that is one of our missions with this broadcast, is to expose the Word of God, to expound the Word of God and to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, we know the gospel is Jesus. So if you would bow with me in prayer, and we're just going to get this done in the beginning of the broadcast, because I don't want to move through this lesson expecting or assuming that everyone who listens understands the language or the teachings of this particular point, because it can be a little foreign to those who may be on milk or new in their salvation, or it could be foreign to those who may not know Jesus as their Savior. So let's pray and touch and agree for the one or those who may not know him personally as their Savior. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if you would, repeat after me for those who aren't saved and for those who are saved who are praying with me. Think of someone in your family or think of someone in your circle of influence that you can lift up in prayer for their salvation, that they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. Lord, I come to you as a person who needs a Savior. I need you today, Lord. I believe that you are my Savior. I trust you by faith. I accept you and ask that you would come into my heart and reign over me. Lead me. Change me. That you would forgive me in the pardoning of my sin. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, that your blood covered me, that you are my redemption. Thank you for cleansing me, for making me brand new. I love you, Lord Jesus. I need you. And I trust you. Please come into my heart. Make me brand new. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you for praying with me, brothers and sisters in Christ. And for you who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, hallelujah and praise the Lord. You are now a new believer in Christ Jesus, and I just pray that you would get into a Bible-teaching church and be baptized and let someone know and confess that you are now a Christ follower and that you would be discipled in a Bible-teaching church, a doctrinal teaching church, and be discipled, get into a good Sunday school class that would disciple you so that you would grow and go in grace. Thank you again for accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just as I have done the same. Praise the Lord. So let's now, if you will, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And that's Romans chapter 8. And we are going to look at some passages. And we're going to start at verse 18. Now, last week, we looked at Romans chapter 8, and we started at verse 1. And we also looked at Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. But we're going to pick back up in Romans 8, and we're going to start in verse 18. So if you would follow with me in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to start reading at verse 18, and we're going to read this particular chapter in its entirety from verses 18 through 38. So if you would follow with me, and we'll look at some other passages. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the Son of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. The redemption of our body. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And this is in the New Living, the NIV translation. And for the benefit of the lesson, since we are looking at I am saved, glorification, underline in your Bible, if you would, or make note of it, he also glorified. Verse 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any change against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written. For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And there is some rich, rich nuggets in this particular passage. And I hope that they popped out to you as we read this passage. Now, I wanted us to make note of he also glorified. But in verse 29, it reads, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Now, we're talking about glorification. I am saved. And remember, I had defined the word glorification, the ultimate state of the believer after death, when he or she becomes like Christ. And then it says, predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Amen. And so we read even further in the passage that nothing can separate us from Christ, that we are more than conquerors through him and him alone who love us. And so, again, this just brings the power that Jesus had when he was crucified on the cross, that we will be in our glorified body, ultimate state, after death. So as we listen to the broadcast, as we search the scriptures, as we become sanctified, meaning holy and set apart, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, who sits on the throne of our heart, then we have a promise, according to Scripture, that we will become like Christ. So let's go into our next passage. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 2. First John 3, and we're going to look at verse 2, and it reads this way. Dear friends, now we are children of God, And what we will be has not yet been made known. And if you see in the translation here, it says what we will be. And you can underline that, has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, talking about Jesus, when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he is. And I love the way it says we shall be like him. Now, remember, the ultimate state of the believer after death, when we become like Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 18. And we who have unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, is the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? And we, who with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So these scriptures solidify that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, who sits on the right-hand side of the Father in his glorified state. That was 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start at chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to start at verse 25. And it reads, and again, I'm reading out of the New International Version, the NIV. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him, who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Verse 29. Now if there is no resurrection, will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Verse 33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Verse 35, but someone may ask, how are the dead raised? How are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Now, be careful and be mindful of how these scriptures are reading, because you have to have a clear understanding of what the scripture is talking about or what Paul is trying to convey to the Corinthians. And in these particular verses, we're talking about glorification. I am saved. And for the benefit of understanding, let me reread verse 35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. So, Will it be with the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in wickedness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust. The second man was from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have bore the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last verse in 58, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. And I know this particular passage packs a punch of richness, but I hope you grasp the teaching in this passage that the perishable will become imperishable and the mortal immortality. And that lets us know that we will become like Christ in our body after we fall asleep. And when I use the term falling asleep, as believers, we lay the body down, but we live forever. We fall asleep, or we die in Christ, but we will be raised and we will live in heaven. And when We are saved with our glorified bodies, then we will be like Christ. So this is a beautiful promise, knowing that the ultimate state of the believer after death, when he or she becomes like Christ. Just a beautiful promise in Scripture that solidifies glorification, or I am saved. So now let's move to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's read verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 1, and we will read chapter 1, and we will read verse 2. One verse two reads this way: to the church of God in Corinth. I'm sorry, we're going to chapter 1, verse 22. Verse 22. I want to make sure I'm in the right chapter. Well, I must be looking at things a little backwards, but we're going to go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 in 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go to verse 5. And we're going to read verses 5 through 10. And it reads this way: now, it is God who has made us from, who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now keep in mind the Holy Spirit, that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a deposit, or as a deposit, himself. He has deposited himself in us when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And that's the guarantee, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body. Now, this is Paul, again, talking to the church of Corinth, and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. And verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So, of course, we will be judged for what we do now on the earth while we are in these bodies. And that is why it is to our benefit that we lead others to Christ, that we tell others about what Jesus has done, and that they would come to know him just as we have accepted Jesus in our life. And God will judge us on what we do now as believers in Christ Jesus, as children of God, as children of light. But the point is that we will dwell in heaven. And we have a heavenly dwelling with a glorified body. And we will be like Christ. But the beauty in this particular verse is, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So it would be to our best interest to yield the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, meaning put out the fire that burns inside of us. That's that hunger and a thirst that we have for Christ Jesus. Reading the Word of God, telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we not grieve the Spirit. And that is grieving, that God grieves because we disobey what he wants us to do, what he reveals to us through the Holy Spirit to do. If the Holy Spirit tells us to go left and we go right, then we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're grieving the Spirit when we disobey. Mm-hmm. But when we follow what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, then out of obedience, we are in righteousness. So it would be to our best interest to not be carnal or live a life of carnality, half-hearted, selfishness, lusting of the things of the flesh, but that we are to deny the flesh and live according to the Holy Spirit. Now, again, we are looking at glorification specifically through Scripture that reveals to us that we will have glorified bodies after we have laid these bodies down. Let's look at Ephesians 1, verse 1 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus, of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints of Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were made in him, or marked in him, with a seal. And of course, that seal, it says, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance in until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Now, of course, we have the spiritual blessings of Christ while we live on earth, as well as when we get to heaven. We will be even more blessed than we are now. But these are the promises that the scriptures speak about because of the possession of the Holy Spirit. We will have all that is promised to us, as well as having bodies in the likeness of Christ. This is when we know we are saved. Now, keep in mind, the first point on last week's lesson was, I have been saved. And, of course, that's accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Justification, God's act of declaring us not guilty for our sins. And, of course, the second point was, I'm being saved. And that's where we are today, right now. For those who have confessed Jesus as their Lord, who've accepted him as their Lord and Savior, and who has been filled with the Holy Spirit. We are being saved. We are working out our soul salvation. That's sanctification. Becoming more and more like Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. But this point today is concerning I am saved, glorification. And the scriptures that we read solidify the type of body we will have when we have fallen asleep in Christ and we rise with our glorified bodies. So for our last passage concerning this last point in this teaching lesson, ashes into beauty. I mean, how beautiful can that be to have a body like Christ? And these last verses in the book of Revelation, if you would, turn to chapter 20. In these last verses and passage in Revelation will definitely show us the beauty that we have now as believers in Christ Jesus living in heaven in the new kingdom. And let's go to Revelation 20. And we're going to start at verse 11. And we're going to read verse 20, 11 through 15. And this is the Apostle John. And he says in verse 11, chapter 20, then I saw a great white throne, and him who has seated, who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And we're going to keep reading in chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic acts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, brothers and sisters, I pray that you have made note of these scriptures, that you reread them and allow the Holy Spirit to connect the dots in your heart, in your understanding, and that you would gain spiritual wisdom from what we have heard through these passages. And I pray that you familiarize yourself with the Word of God, that it become a habit for you to open up the pages and allow the Word of God to breathe on you. And always know that you will be in likeness of Jesus Christ. And don't forget that glorification is the ultimate state of the believer after death, when he or she becomes like Christ. And if you just did not catch the beginning of the broadcast for whatever reason, you always have the luxury of revisiting this broadcast on demand. If you would, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/heart2heart MFTH. And that's heart, the number two, heart, and that's MFTH, which stands for Mission from the Heart. I thank you for being so faithful to this broadcast, and this has been such a blessing to walk together through the pages of this lesson, through the pages of the Bible concerning this lesson, Ashes into Beauty. Again, we know that the grass wither, and we know that the flowers fadeth away. We've seen them season after season. But we can always remember that the Word of God stands and remains forever. Thank you for being so faithful to the broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, and I pray that you have had a blessed and Thanksgiving day. Thank you again, and God bless.
Now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app, look it in the mouth, get amazing services. Thank you.